on the line now have Niamh Gallagher, and she's the CEO of Drink Aware. Good afternoon to you, Niamh.
And good afternoon, Noel.
Okay, now this research that you've commissioned recently, I mean, it's quite relevant, especially we've just had a long weekend, another one coming up, and this is when people sort of seem to go a little bit crazy. Not that they need much persuading, but anyway, what did you find out in the research?
So a couple of things, Noel, that we thought were interesting. The first and important to Drink Aware is that Irish adults have become much more aware of how alcohol affects their health and well-being. So of the 1,000 people surveyed, 75% of them felt that they'd become much more aware of this.
Mm-hmm.
50% of them, so just about half, had made small positive changes to their drinking habits, so reducing how much alcohol they drink. So from our point of view, that was obviously very positive. And a third of them said they'd like to drink alcohol less often. So those are numbers, I suppose, creeping up. Drink Aware's mission is to reduce alcohol misuse. So we're very keen to track how many people are reducing their drinking and how many would like to drink less alcohol. Okay. On the other side, we asked a culture question. So how many people think that drinking to excess is just part of Irish culture? And that question, I suppose, really links with the weekend. We just had the St. Patrick's Day weekend, which so many people do associate mm-hmm. with drinking alcohol, and within the survey 70% of adults said that they do believe drinking to excess is just part of Irish culture. And we would feel at Drink Aware, you know, that's that that really motivates us, because we believe that's far, far, far beyond what should be acceptable. We're trying to move to a place where actually we don't accept drinking to excess as part of our culture, and that we start to move to making those kinds of changes, and so that people are drinking less. And where people are drinking, they're drinking within the HSE low risk guidelines.
Mm-hmm. It's terrible to think that sort of just under, well, quite a bit, 43%, they think there's no problem with excess drinking. It's hard to imagine anyone thinking like that.
Exactly, that it's just no big deal. And I think that really links back to that kind of question about culture. And the other piece of it is, I suppose, something we've come across in our work, a real sense of confusion around definitions. So, you know, one person's sort of sense of what is drinking to excess and somebody else's might be different.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we try to communicate at Drink Aware is, what are the HSE low-risk guidelines? So what are the sort of official levels of drinking that are considered to be low-risk, and anything above that then is risky? So those are 11 standard drinks a week for women and 17 standard drinks a week for men with 2 alcohol-free days.
Mm-hmm.
But the next question then obviously is, well, what's a standard drink? And what we do a lot of work at Drink Aware again around communicating that. So a standard drink in Ireland used to be called a unit. It's now a standard drink. Is a glass of beer,
mm-hmm.
a pub measure of spirits, or a small glass of wine, and that's 100 millilitres of wine.
Right.
So a lot of people don't, you know, that they actually would like to drink less. But from our point of view, the first step is to understand, how much are you drinking now? How does that sit within the HSE low-risk guidelines? And if it's above them, it's certainly important to take steps to try to reduce to get below those guidelines.
Yeah, and I imagine with all the controversy, I'm actually stunned by some of the research, that part about the 43%. And with all the controversy over Good Friday and the opening of it, it's been going on and on and on for so many years. And finally, like now, it's finished, it's open. Okay, we're open Good Friday. Everyone's saying, what was the big deal? Well, I think your research shows why the big deal, and why people were sort of sceptical about why they should not open, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think, in one way, I mean, we've talked a lot about this, as you can imagine, internally in the organisation. And, you know, one of the things, I suppose, because we're looking at the big picture, which is everybody should be drinking below those guidelines on a weekly basis if we're to get to a place where, you know, we don't have any drinking to excess in our country. So from that point of view, the Good Friday debate was almost talking about one day in 365. It wasn't going to solve the problem. It could make it a little bit worse. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, in one way, we wanted to have another debate, which is, why are we all drinking above the guidelines? Why don't we know what the guidelines are, and how can we deal with that? But there's also been some interesting, I've heard some interesting radio interviews, particularly from publicans in rural areas who plan to stay closed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of them are saying, look, we've only got 2 days off a year, Christmas Day and Good Friday. And we are actually going to remain closed, and we've told our customers that. Now, it's different, obviously, in the bigger urban centres, but I think you're right. The debate was going on for years, and now it's happening.
And the funny thing about these people that are talking in rural areas about closing, if they do it as a group, it's actually illegal. If they do it as a concentrated group, it's actually illegal for them to do that. If they do it individually because they want a day off, that's fine. But if they actually say they have an association somewhere and they say, look, we're not going to close, we're the members of the blah, 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 it's illegal. So I don't know if they know that, but there you go.
Gosh, OK. Well, and I suppose that's what it, then it's often with these things, I suppose, that things become more complex when you try to do something.
It is,
much more complicated.
And I think the thing as well is about drinking as well, a lot of people, the health hazards apart from everything else. And I think where a lot of young people maybe... There's a lot of their answers is, well, I had an uncle or an aunt or a granny that drank so much every day and she's lived to be 105 and blah, blah, blah. But what they forget to sort of think about is that the moderation that was there with the people that have lived much longer. And everyone, of course, is different in the way they drink or eat, or no matter what you do, moderation is in everything. So, it's your body's adaptation to what you're drinking as well.
Of course, but also I think the point that you make, the moderation, that most people who say would have lived to 100 in recent years would have lived in a very different time when there wasn't the level of availability and there wasn't the, I suppose, the normalisation of alcohol in the way that there is now. So some people would say to them, and drink aware, attend lots of major events. So take, for example, the Ploughing Championship, where we would meet, you know, tens of thousands of people over the number of days. Mm-hmm. And some of the anecdotes there, I think, are interesting and reflective of how things have changed. So people would say things like, you know, it would be that people called to your house and you'd offer them a cup of tea. Whereas now often you might offer them a glass of wine or a beer. Mm-hmm. You know, that wasn't happening kind of a decade or so ago. So I think there are changing, and it's easy to just pick the evidence that we'd like to have and not look at the whole picture in the round. But you also mentioned the health benefits. I think, you know, we like to talk a lot about the health benefits of cutting down, and people often want an immediate benefit. So some of the challenges around talking about some of the long-term effects of alcohol, which we know well and are very serious things around links to cancer, mm-hmm. Stroke and other issues. But, you know, when somebody is, say, a younger person looking at their lifestyle, it can just psychologically be difficult, and there's research that shows it, to connect this might happen to me in 15, 20 years' time versus this is what I want to do today. So we found that some of the kind of points around improving your sleep, losing weight, better skin, more energy, saving money, some of those actually can be more motivational for people in the short term, and particularly, you know, with the summer coming, people focused in on their weight, on their appearance, that sometimes that can be the way actually to say, right, well, you know, there's no use cutting down on everything else and continuing to consume alcohol at a certain level. It's much better off.
And it's funny as it's funny as well, Niamh, all the things you mentioned about losing weight and sleeping better and your skin condition and energy and saving money, especially, you can relate that to smoking, where people should give up smoking completely. Whereas with drinking, if you drink in moderation and the way you're designated to, you can enjoy a drink every now and again. And there's some great tips you have up on drinkaware.ie as well. And I just want to mention one of them, for instance, that you might notice if you're having a dinner party at someone's house, or even if you're out in a restaurant and there's wine all over the table, you know, someone... sort of designates themselves to be the pourer, the mammy or the daddy or whatever it may be, and you may be distracted talking away halfway through a glass and someone just keeps topping it up. When you have a hangover, you wonder why, because you didn't realise, well, I didn't drink that much, you know what I mean? So this is something
Absolutely.
That people should look out for.
Yeah, and this is back to our, you know, our kind of challenge at Drink Aware, trying to change certain aspects of culture that have become very acceptable. So again, talking to people, they will say, you know, well, if I'm hosting a table, or if somebody comes to my house for a meal, I don't want them to have an empty glass because that would appear rude. Mm-hmm. Whereas actually what we're saying is it's more respectful to somebody to allow them to finish their drink so that they can keep track of what they've had and decide whether or not they want another drink rather than have it pushed on them. So I think that if we could start to make that shift, actually, that it was the norm that you wouldn't fill up a glass, that in itself would make a difference, you know. And mm-hmm. some of the others that... you mentioned some of the tips, and I think some that we've got good feedback on are the other around downsizing your drink. And by that, we don't necessarily mean go from a pint to a glass, although that's a good tip too, but actually to look for lower or no alcohol options for the drink that you like. So in many cases, there are much lower alcohol beers, lower alcohol wines. You can reduce the volume of alcohol that you're consuming, but you can still be at the table with the drink if that's something that matters to you, because for a lot of people that does matter. And the other one, and we do have a cultural challenge here, but we're taking it on, is to avoid rounds. So, you know, privately people would say often to us the pressure that they feel.
It's horrible. I mean, we've all been through it. We've definitely all been through it, that you might be with one or two and all of a sudden there's six, and in the first place, you mightn't have enough money in your pocket and the stress it causes, and you might have to leave a good night because of it, but it's a thing that should be obliterated altogether. That's what people should be...
Yeah, and you're drinking at the pace of the fastest person, and I think that, you know, that's not fair on anybody else around the table. So that's just another one, is if you can at all to try to avoid rent, and really critical, I think, is if you are drinking at home, to use a measure. Because people are in many cases not aware of that what a standard measure of spirits is, but even more so a glass of wine. So we have a standard drinks measure cup which is available for order on our website, and that shows what is a standard drink of wine, what is a standard drink of spirits, and a standard drink of beer. And we find that people, when they start using that for wine, they find it very useful, because the wine glasses vary so much in size. It's really difficult to know what is actually a normal glass of wine.
Indeed, because I just didn't even... You talk about glasses now, to me they look like buckets now. I was only watching something on the telly last night, and I mean, the glass was bigger than the girl's hand that was holding it, and I was saying to myself, and it's one of these foodie programmes, and I'm going, the size of that glass, it's a book. You could water the lawn with that glass.
Exactly. and back to the hosts, who then feel the need to fill up a glass like that, you know, which leaves them, the poor person receiving the drink, you know, if they're not keeping track, can have way, way more than they had anticipated.
Okay, well, you have the website, drinkaware.ie, and you have all the links on as well. You have the drinks calculator, and I'm sure all the tips are up there as well on what people should
exactly
do.
Exactly, they are.
I'm sure that you'd like to see the still maybe kids being caught a bit younger in school and a little more taught about it there with the children.
I think so. I mean, I think, look, there's a lot to be done. One of the things that we look at is that one of the biggest indicators of future drinking behaviour and bad kind of habits, as it were, developing, is the age of first drink. So if you can push that out as late as possible, it has positive effects longer term. So we would be very, very keen, I suppose, to ultimately get that to 18. There are young people, as we know, in this country who drink below that. I mean, international research shows that.
Yeah, and I suppose as well, Niamh, that to change the mindset of a lot of parents as well, who if you know, they hear something or they see the kids a bit drunk or anything like that, even if they're very young, underage, they'll sort of say, oh, well, at least they're not on drugs, but you don't really realise that it quickly can become addicted, and also it can be a gateway for them as well, so to always sort of be careful.
Yeah, it's so important. And I would just note the same, you mentioned the calculator, and I would just like to note it, because it's on our website. This year already 25,000 people have used it, and it's a really useful tool for people who are interested in understanding the number of standard drinks, the calories, the amount of alcohol and the sugar in what it is that they drink. And they can go on there, they can put in whether they drink a pint or whether they drink a glass of wine, whatever it might be, and they can see what it equals and all those different things. They can also see what it will cost them if they're going to have three drinks in the pub over a week or three drinks at home. And they can, I suppose, start to then, we think, and this is the purpose of the tool, to reduce what it is they're drinking if it's above the guidelines, and become very informed about sticking within those HSE low-risk guidelines using the calculator.
Okay, well, I mean, that's you can be optimistic there when you see so many people looking on the website and taking advantage of that research as well. Drinkaware.ie. Listen, Niamh, thank you very much for talking to us here on Near FM. Always a pleasure.
And thanks for having us.
Have a good Easter weekend, the week
indeed.
After next. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.